720 WGN, Mind Games of John Lennon, and the mind is where we're headed with Dr. Ronald Alexander, who has a PhD in a bunch of stuff, human behavior and psychology. He's the director of the Open Mind Training Program. Some of his clients include Apple, Universal Pictures, Sony Entertainment, Microsoft, on and on. Good evening, Doctor, and welcome to my mind.
Hi, how are you? Good evening.
I'm doing well, thanks. So, opening our minds to creativity, I'm guessing that you're referring to more than just being in a quote-unquote creative pursuit, if you will, that this would apply to anyone in any walk of life.
Yes. Every single person is capable of having and accessing what I call core creativity.
Uh-huh.
So how to make your life and how to be an artist inside of your own life.
And what closed our minds to begin with? I mean, obviously you're saying we want to open them. Well,
yes.
Since we're opening them, that obviously means that they were closed at some point. What closed them?
Well, there's two mindsets that I write about in my book, Core Creativity, and there's what's called the fixed mindset. And a fixed mindset grows out of, unfortunately, our parents and our teachers early in life saying, no, you can't, don't, not possible, not practical. And a fluid mindset is having parents, having teachers, having people in our lives that say yes to everything and that they encourage us to explore our dreams and go for anything and everything that we want, especially if it involves your creativity.
When you say dreams, pursue our dreams, do you mean I dream of, you know, becoming A, or do you mean, or both dreams that we have overnight? You know what I'm talking about, dreaming of, as opposed to dreaming to do something.
Both.
Ah.
Because like the way that we oftentimes find the big idea,
yes,
or the new direction,
right,
in our life, is we dream about it. For example, Robert Louis Stevenson, the great writer, he used to dream entire chapters each and every night. And the scientist who invented the benzene ring, two snakes biting each other's tails, he had that as a dream. So it's really important in what I call open mind consciousness or open mind awareness to pay attention to what you dream about at night, because oftentimes your creative unconscious mind is giving you information, giving you new directions, new frontiers, new images, new colors, new pictures. And then the second dream is spending time to really get quiet with yourself and to start intending and having intentions towards reinventing yourself, your life, your business, your family, your career, towards a completely new future.
What was it that put you on this path? What started you down the direction of opening open mind training, open mind training program, accessing your dreams? I mean, it must have occurred. There must have been some point where you said, hey, this is the direction I'm headed in. When was that?
That was in 1970.
Mm.
I was a business administration major at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst.
Wow.
And I went to a yoga class on a Friday night, sat up in the back, and there was about 100 students, and everybody was om chanting. And I was a nice Irish Catholic boy from Boston. I didn't know what om chanting was, but I felt my creative unconscious open up. I felt as if I had come home. So that was one thing. Another thing was I spent most of my adolescence in Harvard Square at the Harvard bookstore reading both existential philosophy and all the books that I could on Buddhist meditation and mindfulness and Zen. And at night, I would go to all of the music clubs, like the Club 47 in Psychedelic Supermarket, and I would hear all of the incredible music groups from England that would come over and stop in Boston first and do the dress rehearsals.
Right. You know, 1970 and yoga, that was not exactly a universally practiced or acknowledged method of meditation or mindfulness in the country. Of course, over the years, it's become commercialized, and there's hot yoga and, I don't know, jazz yoga and all sorts of yoga. But, you know, say I'm a skeptic, okay? Like, I don't really get into the whole metaphysical meditation, yoga mindset yet. I'm sort of interested in what you have to say. What do you have to say to the person who is not of this background, so to speak, who never took yoga, who still eats meat, who is just a regular person, so to speak?
Well, there's a couple of things that I say, and the number one thing is that mindfulness meditation and or any form of yoga isn't for everybody. And what oftentimes, though, is in great thinkers and philosophers and painters and many of the creatives that I interviewed in my book, they had several things all in common that I call the daily rituals of the creative. And number one on the list of 75% of the people that I interviewed, they all took the daily walk. Every single one of them.
Although I
didn't get to interview Steve Jobs, but I did talk and consult to some of the middle-level executives at Apple.
You're talking like maybe a 20 or 30-minute walk?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And he was known for sorting out not only design issues in downloading creative issues on the daily walk, but he oftentimes would take, let's say when he was going to hire John Sculley, the Pepsi president, he took him on an hour and a half walk. That was the interview.
Yeah.
So I encourage everybody, take a daily walk. And then the other thing that's just really easy, and it has nothing at all to do with yoga, is sit quietly for 5 to 10 minutes a day and just look out the window at the blue sky or at the trees or nature and just receive. Pay attention to what do you receive? Mm. What does your unconscious mind want to assist you in downloading? And those are two very basic but very, very powerful methods.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are familiar, whether or not they take yoga or into meditation or Buddhism or anything else. I'll bet a lot of folks have a Fitbit and or an Apple Watch that counts your steps. And some people, including myself, are almost obsessed with the idea of getting 10,000 steps in a day. And to do that, of course, you have to walk. And I have found and have talked to friends and members of my family that walking sometime late morning, well, I work at night, so let's say late morning, early afternoon, I get out there with the dog and I go around the neighborhood for about a half an hour. And you're right. I didn't go out there to come up with ideas. But as I'm walking around, not every time, but many times, some things just sort of click in. And
absolutely.
And I think this Fitbit could get people on this path, no pun intended.
Yeah. I like your play on the words Fitbit on the path. And I use my Apple Watch also. And I used to actually have a Fitbit. But oftentimes when I have either when I'm consulting for a talent agency or a music or film studio, I oftentimes have very high and complex problems that need to be resolved with my expertise.
Yes.
And when I feel bogged down or I feel like really stuck, I take a very long walk, and it's almost as if one thing follows another. And I think you have to trust that the 10,000 steps, eventually at some point on your walk, things are going to fall into place very nicely, almost like a puzzle. And, you know, James Taylor, the musician, he says that the way that he downloads music is he gets very quiet and he waits. And the song is like a mathematical puzzle where all the parts fall into place, the rhythms, the harmony, the lyrics. So you have to trust that by getting quiet, by sitting still or actively moving, things fall into place from a creative perspective.
You know, no matter what I think we do in our work life that this idea of taking the walk for 20 or 30 minutes every day is something that will be not only advantageous in, quote unquote, the creative mind, if you will, but it's also just darn healthy. I mean, it's just good for your aerobic circulation. I mean, it helps you stay alive, if you will.
Yeah, not only is it healthy and helps you to stay alive, but what we found in doing mindfulness meditation research for 20 minutes minimally a day, up to 30, is that over the course of 12 weeks and up to 3 months, is every time that you sit down and meditate, you turn on healthy neurons and the neurons of positivity, and that those same neurons get turned on from taking a walk, playing tennis, skiing down a mountain, or fitting together puzzles on something like called luminosity.com, with their brain-mind exercises. So there's a whole host of ways of how to make yourself both physiologically fit, but also mentally and emotionally fit. Because our brains need brain-mind fitness.
Yeah.
And I coined a term in one of my first books, and it's that from mindfulness meditation, you create mind strength. And that's very similar to, like, you go out, and you go, when you're out of shape, you go to a gym,
right,
and you start doing weights.
Yes.
And over time, you build up strength in your body. Well, same thing with contemplation, meditation, the walk in nature.
Right.
You start to train your brain to be fit.
We're talking to Dr. Ronald Alexander, who has two PhDs in human behavior and psychology, and has a new book, Core Creativity, The Mindful Way to Unlock Your Creative Self. Doctor, thank you so much for being with us, and I hope that we've had our conversation has had a positive effect on some people, and hopefully there'll be more walking and more clear thinking, and who knows what could follow after that. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us.
You're very, very welcome. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. It's 720 WGN.